The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Sienna and I have been together as a couple for 22 years and counting. In this episode, we share about a time early on in our relationship when we were fighting a lot. And we also share the things that helped us to break out of that pattern and to move towards growing in mutual understanding and peace. If you want to jump ahead to the main topic, that starts in at about 12 minutes. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Love is in the air. Do you remember that song?
Yes, I do. We are old enough to just a memory of that song.
All right.
Love is in the air.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
This episode will be published. The plan is to publish this episode the day before Valentine's, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's the thing. Let's just say this like out the gate.
Okay.
You know, so in this day and age, in the climate now, it's like, is it okay to talk about Valentine's Day? Is it not okay to talk about Valentine's Day?
Are you being insensitive? Are you appropriating Saint Valentine?
Right. And also, oh no, it's not Valentine's Day anymore. We celebrate Galentine's Day.
Oh God.
You know, I mean, like there's so many
things. Off my lawn.
So we are just old school. Everyone knows this by now. So we're going with Valentine's
Day. We're old fogies.
And we're going to talk about just some things we've learned in our 20 plus years of our relationship. This year is going to be 23 years. It's 2024 now, and it's going to be 23 years that we've been together. And
we've learned a thing or two.
Yes, we have. We sure have.
And we would like to share it with you young spring chickens.
Yep.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. So maybe we should just start with the very quick overview backstory. How we met.
Okay. So if you've been following the podcast, we've talked about how we met in various episodes, things like that. So Toast and I met doing music. And very much more specifically, I was working on a project. I was in, where was I?
California?
Yeah, Northern California.
I can't somewhere think of where in the great state of California.
I was going to say Palo Santo. I know. Palo Alto.
Oh,
that's where
God.
I was. Too much smudging and clearing for the new year. And I was working on a project. And while we were taking a break, the person I was working with handed me a press kit. So back in the day, musicians would send physical press kits, something kind of fun that showed your personality, and it would have your like bio, a little bit of who you are, plus your CD back in the day, a physical CD.
A compact disc.
And it would also maybe have like a food item, just whatever. You could make it really fun. It's like a little, like a gift.
Just to try and get at the attention.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
More than just like pulling a CD out of an envelope.
Right. So you want it to have personality. So anyways, he hands me this press kit. And the CD specifically, and he says, do you think she's gay? I don't know why. He's just like nosy like that. And he said, do you think she's gay? I turn it over and I see the photo of Toast. And I'm like, totally. Like, I was just like, yeah, yep, she's gay. And
Man, your gaydar was so sensitive because...
Well, what's funny is you were, for that album, mm-hmm. you were toning it down.
I thought I was. But not down enough.
You were toning it down. And that's the thing. You just...
You can't get away from the gaydar.
You cannot. You either... Yeah, the gaydar, it's just there. Mm. It's strong.
It's like
it's
that.
Strong. It's like the force.
Yeah.
But so that's sort of how it started. And during the break, I put the CD on and the first track I just loved. And he said to me, you know, she's from Hilo. And I also have family in Hilo. And he goes, maybe you folks can work together someday. But I thought to myself, okay, I don't even have a project. This is what I'm here in Palo Santo to do. And so let me just focus on this project. So finish the project. We go on a mini tour to promote it. And then I find out that Toast is opening for one of the shows, one of the compilation concerts that I was a part of.
Mm-hmm. And the whole reason I had sent that press kit to your producer was because an acquaintance of mine was producing this concert. And my friend, you know, acquaintance, said, oh, maybe you can open for this. Mm. You know, send your press kit to these guys. So that's how the press kit came across your desk and all of that. So yeah.
And meanwhile,
I did get to open for it for that concert.
Yeah. And you were amazing.
Well, thank you.
You were so good.
You were like amazing as well.
I was not.
You don't think
so? But it's okay. It was a learning experience.
I barely remember any of it. You know,
see,
what I mean?
You're telling me I was amazing. That's like polite and all but you know.
Well, I don't remember specifics is what I'm saying, you know.
Anyways, and so then by this point, when we were doing this particular show, I had been listening to the CD. I, you know, knew the songs. And then on that particular concert day earlier in the afternoon, I heard Toast doing her sound check at the venue. And I was like, oh my God, like a crazy fan person, like a ridiculous lunatic. Like I was like, oh my God. Like I just wasn't thinking. I don't know. I didn't know
that was weird,
anyone
huh?
was opening
it's
for
so
us.
Yeah. You totally
no
forgot.
Clue.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't know that.
They didn't. I had no clue. Maybe Daniel knew, but you know, no, I didn't know.
Okay.
And then so I hear this music that I know and I'm like, wait, what? And she's doing the sound check and I went in and I was just starstruck listening to your sound check and all excited. And you also sang a Hawaiian song that isn't on your CD. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And then when you finished it and you were kind of taking a break outside with your girlfriend, mm-hmm. I was there with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go and say something. And I went up to you and I was just like a crazy person. Like, oh my God, I have your CD and blah, 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 blah.
What I do remember is that you said, yeah, I have your CD. And I was just shocked because... I'm this little indie artist and the only person I know who has my CD is, well, yeah, I guess the guy who I sent it to, right? Because mm-hmm. his mm-hmm. project is being produced. And then my mom has my CD, you know? So my reaction was like, you have my CD? Like,
no, but
and
you
I
were
was,
in Borders, like you were in like the local.
Well, every independent artist was.
And you were being played on the radio.
Especially in Hawaii.
Anyways,
know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was... taken off guard, I guess.
Yeah.
And, okay, so that's how we first met.
That's how we first met each other. And mm-hmm. then you were looking for water and you couldn't find any water and I couldn't help you. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it.
You know, I was looking for water because I was so nervous. I had like cotton mouth.
I know you did. You were telling me that. Okay. And I'm just like, I don't know where the water is.
You just have to like... Sack up, man.
and then at the end of the show, I'm like, okay, I like this person. But I wasn't thinking like, because that just wasn't a part of my, that wasn't even an option for me because
Because you had a girlfriend,
I had a girlfriend. I was with someone, and being with anyone else was not even on my radar. Yeah. So I think that's also something
because you guys to pay were attention like to. Really, you know, you guys never really fought.
We were solid, right. I thought, right. You know. Yeah. But anyways, so then I innocently just went up to her and I was like, "Oh my gosh, you know, we should stay in touch. What's your email?" And then she just directs me to the CD. Like, oh, it's on there. Like, so she just gave me the general public
email, public-facing email,
not like the, you know, the private, you're now in the back door. You've gone in the back door. She just gave me like, dum-dum, it's on the CD.
Email. Oh,
that's
ouch.
What it is. Ooh. Like, you know, and she was just acting so, you were acting so cool and like you could not have cared anything about me. Ow. Like you were just so aloof. You were aloof. I have to say you were aloof. But I think I liked that.
Oh, maybe I have to be like that.
I think I was like, huh, okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. Let's go. So anyways. So it wasn't until many weeks later that I emailed. That email on the general email on the CD.
Yes, which was actually my email. I think it may have been an AOL address.
And then we started connecting over email. And that's really how things started.
Yes.
And here we are
over two decades later. And I guess your producer turned out to be right because we have worked together.
Yeah.
And how about this? We're going to take a little break. And then we're going to share some thoughts we have about fighting.
Yes.
All right. So in preparing for this episode, the topic of fights came up.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, that might be a good thing to center our conversation around. Mm-hmm. Because we... Despite having, you know, fallen in love and gone through a beautiful honeymoon stage of like, you know, the birds are singing and the sun is shining and the rainbows are bowing and all of that, we also, soon after, went through a period of very intense
fights. But here's what I want.
Nothing like physical. We didn't like shove and punch or scratch each other or anything like that.
No.
But we
nothing like that.
But we did stay up till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Just fighting.
Standing in the kitchen with our hands on our hips.
You know. Whenever you said that, you're talking about me cuz I don't think your hands were on your hips.
Oh, really?
I think they were on me because I'm burned in your image in your mind.
I don't know. I think I would like shift my weight from side to side cuz my legs I've been like, "Oh my god, how long are we going? This is ridiculous."
Okay, wait, but we also I think it's important to say too that because our relationship, the foundation of our relationship truly was a deep friendship. That was centered around music. And music is a passion. Whenever you're talking about something creative, you know, it's intense. So not only, and then finding out, oh my gosh, there's more to this than the intensity of the creative arts. There's more than that. Then it's like double what you would think in a... relationship that just starts and it's like, oh my gosh, this is great.
Well, we just happen to have things a few
right. This is like this is like maybe. Double the intensity. So the emotions are doubled and heightened, and that goes for all the great things and the fighting and the hard things. Mm-hmm. I think they're both incredibly intensified.
That's a good point.
So I just want to say that.
Yeah. And we have come across a handful of people throughout our life who seem to have found some sort of comfort when they found out that, oh yeah,
we fought like crazy.
Yeah, Sian and I have had some ridiculous fights. Mm-hmm. Or actually not some, quite a few during that time. And it was a period of several years, right? Mm-hmm. And so we thought, okay, maybe people might find this helpful. for us to talk about it a little bit more. Okay, so I think what helped us come out of the cycle of fights that would feel like we've had this fight already. Like a lot. Not just, you know what I mean? It's a repeat performance of a repeat performance.
It's a rerun.
And it would just start to feel ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think what helped us come out of that cycle is recognizing the truth of this, or at least it's true for us, I guess, of this theory about like why couples fight. And if you've listened to like Esther Perel or other relationship, you know, coach type people, you've probably come across it. And the idea is that a lot of times the fight is not what the fight is about. Like it's not about the trash or even about like
money
or even like your tone of voice or it's not even that. It's not what you're fighting about. It's what you're fighting for. And there are three buckets, I guess, of what people might be fighting for. And those buckets are, number one, power and control. Number two, care and closeness, or what we would call intimacy, a sense of being intimate and connected. And number three, respect and recognition. Or just what I think I've tended to conceptualizes just acknowledgement, you know, like appreciation, right? Respect and recognition. So I think looking back, that's a lot. I personally think I felt like I was fighting for respect and recognition.
You know, I think I was fighting for the second one,
care and closeness.
Yeah. Even though I was pushing you away. It's so funny what we do. It's just, you know, because it's habit. Like so much of, there's so much. This is why it's so hard. It's like discussing this opens up a whole can of worms.
You know what?
Yeah, because it's like there's, it's complex. That's what it is. Because we each come with our baggage. We each come with that. We each come as individuals. We each come to learn things from each other in order to help heal this baggage that we've brought to the table. But the baggage has already set us up in certain habits and defenses. And so we go through the relationship, and if you're not doing any kind of thing for awareness or to help yourself, you know, pay more attention to your thoughts, how you behave, the feelings you have about things in the relationship, if you're not paying much attention to that, then you're going to stay stuck in those habits. But there's
And you're going to have the same fight.
You're going to have the same fight for years.
Over and over, and it's going to get really boring because it's like you've seen this fight before. You've been in this fight before.
And it's, and it's frustrating. And and the thing about that too is when you start to, when you realize that the relationship is not supposed to be, oh, it's just easy and smooth.
Like, you know, I remember seeing couples on like talk shows like Oprah.
Yeah.
Like old couples, and they would say stuff like, oh yeah, we've never fought.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, but I think, yes, and I believe that because those old couples, when you think about the Oprah show, when it was on, what an old couple was then, how they grew up, the kinds of things that were available to them, I think they were just used to sucking it up, right?
That's a good point.
So it's like...
That is a really good point because in previous generations, if you go back far enough, the social roles were so much more narrow and defined, and people knew what was expected of them.
Right.
And so there was less.
And I think that was helpful in a way, you know?
Yes, it is helpful in a way. Yeah.
So okay,
that's a really, really good point.
But if you realize that your partner really is here to help you grow, like they are really here to help you heal those wounds, help you heal them, right? To assist you in that, then and you're open to that and you're signed on, then it can be the most incredible, painful, amazing journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah.
Like I remember, I would say that back in that era of our relationship where we were fighting so much and the same, the fights all felt the same. I think, yeah, I was fighting for and wanting a sense of respect and recognition and acknowledgement and appreciation from you. You know, that's what I was trying to get in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was looking to you for it. And the twisted thing from my point of view, I think at that time was I was trying, in order to try and get that, I was doing what I thought you wanted in terms of care and closeness or, you know, whatever I thought that you wanted. I was trying to provide that and trying to do that.
Yeah.
And when it, quote, wasn't working, you know, then I would feel like, oh, but don't I get points for trying? You know what I mean? Can't you appreciate that I tried? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I kept going back to that thing of, but hey, I'm trying. So respect me for trying, man. Mm. You know what I mean? And I would keep, and I think I finally eventually learned that sense of being respected and appreciated and all that. Like I couldn't put that all on you. You know, like I needed to also do my own spiritual work and relationship with God or whoever you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, and find a sense of respect and appreciation and a sense of acknowledgement from other places and not all put
and
it
for
on
yourself,
you.
Like. You respecting yourself.
Right. That's part of it. That's part of it. And from that fullness, from that more solid, stable foundation, then I would be able to try and show up and pour into, you know, your life and our relationship. And whether or not I felt like, oh, now then it was seen and it was appreciated and it was acknowledged. You know, it didn't matter as much.
Yeah.
It still mattered because I wanted it to be a positive force in our relationship. But I think I would get less spun up, you know, if I didn't get those positive feedback. Positive reinforcement for trying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 So just having that insight and
was helpful, huh?
Yeah. I think to kind of move us on or move me on from getting caught in that, you know, circling, doing the same kind of reactions.
And I think, too, like something that we've learned in the past is, you know, so you explained how Esther Perel talks about when you're fighting, it's not about the thing, it's about what each person is fighting for, right? There's something that we're looking for.
Yes.
So that's one stance. And then we've also learned to instead come to the relationship to serve the other person.
Right.
Like take yourself out of the equation as much as possible and serve, and you're going to just be amazed by how that turns out. And I know we've tried that in like little stretches. I think it's harder to maintain that. But yeah, even that has had an impact.
Yes.
Like, let me serve, let me serve this person and not, and just like try to fill their needs. Because I think when you're doing that, then the person is going to feel seen. The person is automatically going to feel respected and loved and cared for and all those things by just serving them.
Right.
And then
that's
in
like
that
the
way,
whole seeing the bird.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And then in that way, when that partner is feeling so seen and validated, and then they shift and they're seeing you and validating you, it's like this really nice reinforcement, this like healing kind of cycle, circle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the bird thing that Toast brought up. So I had learned from, I think, the Gottman Institute that talks all about relationships and all this stuff.
Okay.
And they said the highest predictor for whether a couple was going to stay together like for forever or for the long term.
In a healthy dynamic.
In a healthy dynamic, right? Not like, I guess I'm just going to stay. Like, not like that. Was to watch couples interact and to count how many bids of what they call bids of connection were received by the other partner. So a bid for connection, it's all the small things that we do to get our partner's attention. And when you're trying to get your partner's attention, whether it's just for a few seconds, whether it's for longer stretches, those are called bids of connection. And so the example they gave was a husband and wife. And the wife saying, "Oh my God, look at this bird." And the
just
husband,
like looking out the window.
Yeah. And the husband doesn't say anything. And
burp.
And the wife goes,
"Warning.
Look at this bird. Look at this bird." And the husband's like, "Wait, what?" And he's still looking at his phone. You know, she's like, "Look at this bird.
Look at the damn bird."
and then when he finally looks up, like he misses the bird. He also
He
missed the bit of connection, right? Yeah. So the whole point in that is like when your partner makes a bid for connection, first of all, to realize that that's what it is. So anytime your partner wants something from you, put things down and look at the bird. Just look at the damn bird. Look at the damn bird. That's all you got to do. Because these small moments, looking at the bird for a few seconds, oh my God, look at that bird, is amazing. Mm-hmm. How many seconds does that take? And that moment satisfies the partner in the connection that they're looking for. Because each bit of connection is a search for, am I okay? Am I okay here? Mm. Are we okay? A bit of, we're okay.
Am I respected?
Yeah. And if the partner
doesn't.
Do I have
some power and control?
And if the partner doesn't look up, then it's like, see, something is wrong. See, or whatever it might be. Or they go through the day and they're thinking about it and like, okay, well, what can I do to make it better? And it's just, so these small, seemingly mundane things, they're really important in the longevity of a relationship. So I thought that was like funny and kind of true, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So.
Okay, I have two more things on our list.
Oh, okay.
Okay. One is a recent movie that you watched called Foe.
Okay.
And not to spoil the whole plot, but it's one of those futuristic type shows where humans, beings can be kind of replaced by like robots that look like them. And it was about the relationship where one of the people in the relationship had been replaced by a robot that kind of looked like the partner. And the whole movie seemed to be an exploration of relationships and how they rely or not on each person in the relationship staying the same.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And the tricky part is when you're an actual human being, you don't stay the same. And you do grow and change. And that's hopefully all for the better. Hopefully you're growing and evolving in a way that's beautiful and that makes you into a more beautiful human being, you know, in a way. And I guess one of the themes I think from that type of story is how one of the beautiful parts of a long-term relationship is that each partner makes room for the other person's growth. You know, when one person changes, the other partner is also changing, of course, but if the other partner can behold that change and stay steady and present and accepting and affirming and encouraging, I mean, gosh, what a beautiful thing. That's one of the markers, I would say, of true love, you know, because if you only accept the person because, well, they're doing all the things you wanted, you know, and they're being the predictable, you know what I mean? Like they checked all the boxes. Is that really love? Or is that just convenience? That's really convenient, right? You're going to pick up the groceries and drop it off when I tell you and blah, blah, blah. But having that kind of present, having a present energy for that person as they go through whatever they're going through.
Being that steady force. And I even think that's what's so special too about friendships that have stood the test of time.
Oh my gosh.
Because you can look back and like, remember when we were, you know, and then you look back to other times when you've grown and you're like, oh, and then that time when we, like, that's so beautiful. And I think that's also
there's
true.
Fights and friendships too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's the thing too with, you know, if we hop back to Esther Perel, with this part as well, it's like, that's why they say infidelity. A lot of times infidelity, the reason for it is because a partner feels like who they want to grow into is not supported. They cannot be that in their current relationship. So there's aspects of themselves that they need to express and be, and they cannot be it in the four walls of, you know, the box that they're in their relationship. Not saying that infidelity is justified at all, but that's the main reason people go out seeking outside the relationship.
Wow. Okay.
It's because there's a growth that needs to happen and their current partner does not support.
Clamps down and kind of eliminates or, that possibility for them in their mind, at least.
In their mind, right. However they perceive the relationship, true or not, is that they cannot be that fuller self, the self that wants to emerge. But with a brand new person, they don't know you. So, of course, there's leeway there, right? There's nothing to live up to. There's no, you know, four walls.
Yeah.
I think you have one last thing.
The last thing is just how recently we've been using these series, these cards, playing cards. They're not actual playing cards, but that each have like a sentence stem on them. And they're a set by Esther Perel. It's called Where Shall We Begin? And they've just been really refreshing conversation starters for Sienna and I, where we've actually, you know, we've learned some new things about each other, even after 20 years being together.
And so, you know, we have the first edition, and now there's a second edition out. So it's going to be great. If you decide to get it, we'll put the link. But in the first edition that we have, the instructions, they're not hard or anything like that, but I didn't want us to have like, oh, we have to learn this game. Let's just do our own way. So the way that Toast and I have decided to do that is we each just pick a card and
without looking,
and we each answer both cards.
And that's it.
Put it aside and call it a day. And so but through that, you know, I mean, some of the questions are like, what really? But it's still, it's amazing where a conversation goes. So it can start with something that doesn't seem so exciting or interesting, but it will lead down a path. It's just like a starter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's called, right? Where shall we begin?
And sometimes we'll modify the question a little bit, or instead of completing the sentence in a very legalistic kind of way, you know, exacting verbatim kind of way, it just kind of is like, well, okay, so the first thing that's coming to my mind is, you know, after hearing it, and you just
start flexible with it. Yeah. But it's been fun, and it's a nice way. So if you're thinking of maybe a Valentine's Day gift, I think it might be too late.
It's too late for you.
Yeah, it's too late. But if you're thinking of something that you could add to your relationship that doesn't have to be where you're scheduling all this time, you can just take like 10 to 15 minutes every night. We do ours right before we go to bed. this might be a nice option. And you can even just choose to do one card, you know? So that's it.
That was really neat. Sienna, that was Sienna's idea that she told Bear, our cat, to get that card deck for us for Christmas. So good job, Sienna and Bear.
Good job, Bear. He saved his allowance. Bear, our cat.
Yeah.
Anyways, I hope you have a great Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day, or if you're effing it to Valentine's Day, I hope you just have a great day. I can see that, right?
That's yes. Not a... Yeah. Do you. And live your love story, too. Yeah. Live your love story.
Do you ever feel that calling that you should be doing more with your life? If you're unhappy with the status quo, I can help. My name is Elias Patras, and I'm an intuitive motivator, psychic medium, and motivational speaker. I know that feeling, and on my podcast, Your Inner Voice, I can help you answer that call to step into your life's purpose. I will show you how to recognize and listen to the signs and signals that are all around us, and help you tap into your intuition. Join me for the show here on the mindbodyspirit.fm podcast network and wherever you get your podcasts. Let's connect, educate, and grow on this journey together.